This is the Draft Room with Brian Lowe on American Airlines Patriots.com radio. The Draft Room is your exclusive look inside the NFL draft. Think you know who will go in the top 10, whose stock is rising, and whose is falling?
There's a lot of guys with good value on those slots.
Who will Mr. Irrelevant be this year? You'll find out as we go inside the Draft Room with Brian Lowe.
9 days away, 8 days away, I'm sorry, from the first round. 9 days away from rounds 2 and 3, 10 days away from the rest of the draft. We're really getting into crunch time here. Tick-tock, Jack, tick-tock. By the way, 24 is getting pretty good. I don't know if you watch 24,
I think you're going to see some vintage Jack Bauer before the end of this season, which is going to be a good way for that show to go out.
Well, talk about vintage Jack Bauer. I was watching one of the all-time great movies, A Few Good Men, with vintage Jack Bauer, if you will, on Sunday. So that was interesting. But enough 24 talk. I could talk 24 for a full hour, but we only have an hour here to talk about the draft. 30 seconds of Jack talk is enough. We just came from Bill Belichick's pre-draft press conference, which you may have heard live right here on Patriots.com. Not that anyone goes into a press conference like that expecting Bill Belichick to say, well, we're going to take Tim Tebow in the second round. We're definitely trading up in the first round. I don't like this guy, that guy, or that guy. You don't expect that. No coach would ever do that. But I thought there were some interesting nuggets from Bill Belichick's press conference today that we will get to here in the Draft Room. We'll be talking to Rob Rang of NFLDraftScout.com, an excellent draft guy. He really knows his stuff. He's all over the place with going to pro days and the combine and Senior Bowl and everything like that. So we're really looking forward to talking to him. He has a new mock draft that came out yesterday or maybe it was Monday with some really interesting features. And I know he has some opinions on certain guys. We're going to ask him about possible Patriots picks and other interesting anecdotes and news and notes from around his entire mock draft. Please send us an email if you have a question for me or for Rob, webradio@patriots.com. That's the way to get in touch with us. We have a handful of emails we're going to get to very soon. You can also call in 508-543-7482.
And just remember, if you send the question while Rob is on the phone, Bilo will ask Rob Rang your question. It's your chance to ask the expert.
And seriously, if you have a little time right now, you're in front of your computer, obviously, go to NFLDraftScout.com. It's actually through CBSSports.com, and you can find Rob Rang's blog, his mock draft. And if you check it out and have any questions for him, as Jason just said, send us an email. I have a laptop right in front of me. I've got the email. We can ask him a question, your direct question. If you haven't heard our show the last couple of weeks, we're doing a weekly show talking about the draft, a full hour, just draft talk. Patriots draft, league-wide, whatever it is, each Wednesday leading up to the draft. So next week will be the last one before the draft, and then we'll be coming your way the following Wednesday, the first Wednesday after the draft. We could probably do this show 52 weeks a year. Draft talk is always exceptional stuff, but giving you five shows just talking about the draft.
And just a little tease for those that show before and the show after the draft, we're working on some big-name guests to kind of preview and recap the draft.
We sure are. We had Todd McShay last week from ESPN. We've had a handful of other guys as well. So very excited about the show. Okay. Let's talk about Belichick's pre-draft press conference. The most interesting item of note, I think, is that he volunteered, and I think actually twice, that they've already received a lot of calls about the second-round picks. It's no secret that the Patriots have, A, the most picks in the entire draft, but B, and most importantly, the most picks in the entire league within the first two rounds of the draft. Of course, they have their first-round pick, and then they have those three second-round picks. In my opinion, great trades, and I thought this way last year when the trades were made. They made deals with Jacksonville and with Tennessee last year during the draft, in which the Patriots traded a third-round pick in 2009 for a second-round pick in 2010. To me, I think those trades are decisive in favor of the team acquiring the second-round pick. Now, there's a school of thought that I don't dismiss. There's the school of thought that why not get that guy in your system now rather than make a trade for a future year? And I don't dismiss that. However, if a guy isn't there that you think is the right value, I know it's an overused word, the right value in the third round of a certain draft, and a team like Jacksonville or Tennessee has their eye on a specific guy, and they're willing to give up a pick in one round ahead the following year, I think it's a great deal. And so the Patriots now have two extra picks in the middle of the second round in what is widely considered a very deep draft and deep in some of the positions that the Patriots may be looking to go after. So what Belichick said was they've already received, the Patriots have already received a number of calls about those second round picks. Now, part of that is sort of laying the groundwork for draft day negotiations. I don't think teams are calling other teams right now and saying, whew, that 47th pick in the draft, we need that pick. No, teams don't know that they're going to need that specific pick. They're looking for a pick in a certain ballpark because they're anticipating the chance of a guy they really like falling to that pick. So what teams do, according to Belichick, is they call around and just get a feel for if teams would be willing to move a pick. The Patriots now have an idea of which teams are interested in mid-second round picks. So if the Patriots are on the clock at, say, 47, and the four or five guys that they would have really wanted at that slot are gone, and they don't see a guy at that value, you never know. Maybe a team is desperate enough for that pick that they'd be willing to give up a first-round pick next year. You never know. So that was definitely an interesting point that Belichick actually emphasized twice, saying they've had a decent number of inquiries into their picks in the second round. Very interesting. Who knows if they're going to make a deal? I don't think Belichick knows if they're going to make a deal. But as we know, the Patriots and Bill Belichick are never hesitant to wheel and deal around the draft. And the fact that they have 12 picks overall, of course, I believe five of those 12 in the sixth and seventh round are untradeable. They're compensatory picks. The Patriots have a lot of flexibility. That's another word that Bill Belichick used today. They have a lot of flexibility to move up, to move down, to move around in the draft.
Okay.
And see which guys are around. That was interesting. And, you know, there was, of course, a question posed to Belichick, not specifics about any moves other teams have made, but probably hinting toward the Jets and maybe the Dolphins, who obviously made a huge deal today, how other teams' moves could impact what the Patriots are thinking in the draft. And as I expected, Belichick pretty much dismissed that as, listen, we're focused on what we are doing in the draft. That's it. Every team's going to improve in the offseason. Every team is going to improve next weekend. Teams are going to improve with the free agency and trades that they make. That's not our focus. 31 other teams are doing their thing. We're doing ours. Our focus is not on, did the Dolphins pick up Brandon Marshall and improve their wide receivers? Did the Jets pick up Santonio Holmes and LaDainian Tomlinson and improve? Hey, they may have. Maybe they didn't. That's not our focus. So the Patriots are focusing on their own draft, their own picks. Interesting thoughts as well from Belichick about the pre-draft visits, that at least 50%, he said, of those visits entail physicals, needing to get more information on a guy as far as injuries, maybe a specific injury that, you know, maybe was only sort of generally discussed at the combine, but this is a chance for the Patriots to bring a guy in to go more in depth on a specific injury or body part. Always interesting to hear what Belichick has to say leading up to the draft, and he held his pre-draft press conference, so the next time we hear from him should be next Thursday evening, probably late into the night after the first round. I guess assuming the Patriots actually do make a pick in that first round. Once again, we will be talking to Rob Rang at the bottom of the hour, NFLDraftScout.com. He's got an interesting mock draft. Check it out in the next 20 minutes if you can, and send us an email at webradio@patriots.com here on the Draft Show. So I mentioned the Dolphins trading for Brandon Marshall, and that's a huge, obviously a huge move this morning. Adam Schefter of ESPN.com breaking that one, that the Miami Dolphins have given up their second pick in this year's their second round pick in this year's draft, which I believe, let me see if I can see exactly which number that is, 43rd, the 43rd pick. So that's actually right before the Patriots pick. So what's interesting now is that instead of the Dolphins picking at number 43, it now will be Josh McDaniels and the Broncos picking at 43 right before the Patriots select. So one thing that I was very interested in talking to guys like McDaniels and Pioli about back at the Combine a couple months ago was the notion that there are now many more Belichick disciples around the league. Thomas Dimitroff, another one in Atlanta, that because they sort of came from the same coaching and scouting tree, might be seeking the exact same types of players, whether it be on the field or off the field characteristics, as the Patriots are. So the fact that Josh McDaniels and the Broncos now will be selecting at number 43 right before the Patriots in the second round Could that impact the Patriots? Maybe at 43, the Patriots are thinking, boy, we have an instinct here that Josh is going to be targeting the same guy. Maybe we need to move up a little bit to vault ahead of Josh and take a certain guy. Just an interesting thought for the second round. But this trade with the Dolphins also impacts the first round. And certainly something I want to ask Rob about. The Dolphins at number 12, I think that was a spot that Dez Bryant could have been going to. Probably not anymore. Dez Bryant, the wide receiver out of Oklahoma State, a prolific career and immensely talented, but the huge red flag with him, there's red flags with just about anyone, the huge red flag with him is the fact that he was suspended for almost all of last season for lying to NCAA investigators regarding his affiliation with Deion Sanders. So it's an interesting case study here because he's not a problem child as far as arrests, behavior, red flags like that. It's this one incident that's a glaring incident. He lied to NCAA investigators, but he's still seen as a mid-first round guy. Well, if the Dolphins now are not really in the need for a wide receiver, and sure, stranger things have happened that they take a wide receiver in the first round, but if they were interested in Dez Bryant and they now have Brandon Marshall and have given Brandon Marshall a massive, and I mean massive contract, 4 years, about $50 million, $24 million or something guaranteed, a monstrous contract, you've got to figure they are not interested in a wide receiver now. So the question is, could Dez Bryant start to slide? And if he does, could he be a candidate for the Patriots at 22? There's been a lot of talk about Dez Bryant over the last week. The Patriots apparently have brought him in for a visit last week. And we know the sort of need that the Patriots have at wide receiver. There's no doubts about that. The question is wide receiver a deep enough position that they could definitely get a guy that they like in the second round without giving him first-round money? In other words, do they see guys like Damian Williams, Demaryius Thomas, Golden Tate as similar talent structure, talent level, and potential impact on this team as Dez Bryant? And if that is the case, why would they take Dez Bryant in the first round if they can get another guy later on? However, if they feel he is that much more talented than a guy like Demaryius Thomas, why not take him in the first round if he's there? Rob Rang actually has Dez Bryant going 25th to the Baltimore Ravens. So Bryant is definitely a guy who the range has gone really from around 10 or 11 all the way down to late first round. Could he be there for the Patriots? We shall see. Webradio at Patriots.com. That is our email address, and I want to get to a few emails already that we have in this next 10 or 15 minutes before we take a break and get Rob Rang in. This one is from Peter in Orlando. With all the talk about Adalis Thomas falling out of favor with the team, is there any way you can see maybe packaging him and the Oakland first-round pick for next year to move up in the draft this year to ensure we get a guy like Sergio Kindle without losing draft picks from this year's draft? There's a lot of talk about the Patriots moving up, but besides Dominican Sue, who I don't think we would have a chance to get, and if not Kindle, who would we target if we were to move up? Thanks for the email, Peter. On a number of levels, I don't see that happening. If the Patriots were to move up in the draft, because of how much they value their draft picks, and with all the trades we've seen them make over the years, it's generally to move down or to move out of that year's draft. I only see them moving up if at 16 or so, 16, 17, 18, a guy that they really like has fallen more than they would have wanted or more than they would have thought, and they're able to deal the 22nd pick and maybe a second, or whatever it takes to move up a few slots. I don't see them going top five for a guy like Dominican Sue, Gerald McCoy, Eric Berry, one of the primo tackles like a Brian Bulaga or Russell Okung. I don't see them going that high because of the cost to get him. I really don't see them trading that first-round pick of Oakland's next year either. I think that could be an extremely valuable pick because, A, the Raiders aren't very good, and even though they could improve, you still have to figure going into next year's draft, it could very well be a top 10, 12 pick, maybe even top 5. And there's a reasonable chance that the rookie salary structure will be different next year, making a top five, top 10 pick much more appealing, much more, you know, the ability to make that pick without having to worry about a $40 million guaranteed contract makes it appealing. Now, the Adalys Thomas end of it, I agree, Peter, he has fallen out of favor, and I don't see him being on the team in 2010. But I don't think they're going to get much for him. In fact, I think if they can get a sixth or fifth, sixth, seventh round pick for him, great. Otherwise, I see maybe him coming to training camp and being cut around that time. That's what I see. So
0.0.
Nothing in the NFL is 0.0, Jason. Literally. I mean, Tom Brady being traded before the draft isn't even 0.0. It's 0.1 maybe, but it's not 0.0. But Adalys Thomas being here in 2010, 3%. 3.5, maybe. That's where I'd go with that. We've got Sam from Brighton. So far, through 2.5 weeks, the star of the show here in the inside the draft room as far as emails. Sam says, which of the three big-name wide receivers dealt this offseason would have been the best fit for the Patriots? Brandon Marshall, Santonio Holmes, or Anquan Boldin? Take the compensation into account. No-brainer on that one. It's Boldin. I think Santonio Holmes is just plain and simple a bad guy who's gotten way too many chances. And, you know, I'm not going to say that the Jets made a bad move to take him in. It's a fifth-round pick. He only has 1 year under contract right now. So the ability to give him a trial run over 1 year with a lot of incentive for him to do well and behave well because he could have a big contract, I don't disagree with that theory. I just think he could just as easily be a massive problem child for the Jets. Listen, this guy got drafted 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and immediately got into trouble. If you're not going to stay out of trouble in those first 3 or 4 months after you're drafted, when are you? I don't like Santonio Holmes, greatly talented player. I think he'd be a terrible fit. Brandon Marshall, a little less so. The red flag to me is Josh McDaniels couldn't get along with him, and I put that mostly on Marshall. A new coach comes in. You're a young guy in the league. You should sort of try to conform to what the new coach is trying to do. Immensely talented, but a ton of money. Boy, did you see the contract he got, allegedly, apparently, from Miami. Huge contract. To me, Boldin would be the guy. I think he'd be a perfect compliment for Randy Moss, a la the way Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin were. I think the price and trade to give him up wasn't astronomical. What was it, a 4, a 3, 4, around there? And then the contract he got was palatable. Still a lot, 4 years, 28, I believe. But I think Anquan Boldin of the three, Sam, would have been the best fit. You know, I'd be interested to hear what you think. Sam has a couple of scenarios. He's sent us a few scenarios the last couple of weeks. His scenarios are the top four picks that the Patriots have. Which direction might they go? Scenario one for him, Sergio Kindle in the first round, and then Demaryius Thomas, Damian Williams, and Jimmy Graham in the second round. Let's break down that one. Sergio Kindle in the first round, I think, is definitely a possibility. Belichick was asked a question about Sergio Kindle and Brandon Graham today. Gave nothing specific other than to say they're outstanding players. I think he'd be a good fit. I think he's what they need. Pass rusher, he's got the Texas Will Muschamp connection, which Belichick has used in the past. I absolutely see Sergio Kindle being a possibility with the Patriots' first-round pick. Your second-round guys, I like Demaryius Thomas. I love Damian Williams. I don't see any way they take both. I think they have enough needs spread out over the course of the field that I don't see them taking two guys at the same position within those first four picks, and I like Damian Williams better personally. And then Jimmy Graham, I like him. I like the intrigue. Don't like him in the second round, and I certainly don't like three offensive skill position players in that first round. I don't see it. So to me, Sam, I'd say Kindle in the first round is a strong possibility. I think Demaryius Thomas or Damian Williams in the second round is a strong possibility. I personally think Damian Williams out of USC is the best guy among this tier. Maybe not better than Dez Bryant, but among this tier of guys, Demaryius Thomas and Tate and all that, I like Williams the best. And like I said, Jimmy Graham out of Miami, big, tall, athletic guy, former basketball player. I think too much of a project at tight end, especially from the blocking end, to be taken in the second round. Scenario two from Sam, I think, is a little more realistic overall. Maurkice Pouncey with the first round pick. Wouldn't be an exciting pick, wouldn't be their biggest need. But when you think about the Patriots' offensive line, while they're in decent shape for 2010 as far as guys under contract, and I'm assuming that one way or another, Logan Mankins will be under contract, although that's no guarantee. I just think that the future at a lot of these positions, especially the interior of the offensive line, center and right guard, where I think Maurkice Pouncey could come in and contribute right away and certainly be part of the future, I like that pick. I think it's a little bit outside the box kind of pick that the Patriots often go after, and he's a Florida guy. You know that Bill Belichick has done his homework on him. He's done his homework on everyone, but I think Pouncey and these Florida guys for sure. I like that one. Now, Carlos Dunlap, Ricky Sapp, Marty Gilliard with the second round picks. I like Sapp a lot. I like him more than Dunlap. Dunlap, another Florida guy. But again, like I said with the wide receivers, I don't see them going after both of these guys. I don't see them going after two similar types of players or positions in that second round. Then Marty Gilliard, I should have mentioned him with that group of Damian Williams, Demaryius Thomas, Golden Tate. Like Gilliard a lot, and I think he could certainly be a consideration in the second round. So interesting scenario, Sam. Overall, I'd say scenario two, if you're looking at which of these could actually pan out, I'd say scenario two more likely than scenario one, but I think you're right on as far as Pouncey and Kindle being possible first-round picks. Webradio at Patriots.com, that's how to get in touch with us. We had a question here. This is from Hamish, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, from Dunedin in New Zealand. And this question, I believe, was more geared to the PFW guys, but we're going to jump on it here because he's talking about Jason Pierre-Paul. Hey, guys, love the work you've been doing on the draft, and your off-season work is the best of the year. My question is about Jason Pierre-Paul. He's from South Florida. Because I've seen him getting a lot of hype for his athleticism and pure potential, do you think it is at all possible that Bill Belichick would consider him if he was available at 22, as he is in the range for what the, quote, Patriot prototype is? Just wondering your opinion on this guy in general, as I don't believe you've talked about him that much, and he seems a highly debatable topic. Well, Hamish, he absolutely is, and he's definitely a guy I'd like to ask Rob Rang about, because on Rob's blog, he definitely had some opinions based on talking to scouts around the league in that, he might be one of the more overhyped, overrated guys, not because of the upside, but because of the ability, or I should say lack thereof, his lack of ability to maybe contribute right away. He's relatively new to the sport of football, played a little, junior college, relatively little experience on the field. And he had very good production at South Florida, 6.5 sacks, 16.5 tackles for a loss, first-team All-American by Pro Football Weekly. So he's an intriguing guy, but more of a project. And I think for the Patriots, taking pass rushers like that, they're always interested in taking projects and willing to work with them. But I think first-round money would be too much for a guy like Jason Pierre-Paul, and we'll ask Rob Rang about him without question. Like I said, Rob Rang of NFLDraftScout.com will be joining us pretty soon. A lot on the table across the first round of the draft. We'll talk to him about what the Patriots might do, how recent moves like the Donovan McNabb trade, the Brandon Marshall trade affect the first round. He has some very interesting scenarios in the first round, including really right at number four, where he's got the Redskins taking an offensive tackle, but not the one you might think. So we'll ask him about that and definitely get his thoughts on anything you want us to ask about. And we've gotten a few emails in already, looking to ask Rob Rang some questions and ask me some questions as well. So we'll be joining Rob in just a little bit. Before we take a break, I just want to bring up a topic that got a little bit of play, certainly around New England and the blogosphere, which was an article in the Denver Post the other day, talking about Josh McDaniel's draft strategy, but certainly relating a lot of information about what the Patriots do. And one anecdote in particular that caught a lot of people's attention was that one year the Patriots had only 25 players total on their draft board. And we're talking about in the draft, 250 some odd players get drafted, another couple hundred are free agents. How could the Patriots only have 25 picks? Well, Pat Kerwin on NFL.com, who is a former executive in the league, had some interesting opinions, and he actually worked with the Jets under the Parcells, Belichick, Pioli trio. He says that the system, among several systems that teams sort of use, one system narrowed the draft board down to around 100 to 120 players we had targeted and not be concerned about guys who didn't fit the standards for being on our roster. That's the way Parcells, Belichick, and Pioli like to set up their draft board during the year I worked with them on the process. I had a chance this week to sit down and talk with someone very familiar with how Belichick operates in preparation for the draft. This is Pat Kerwin talking again. From my own experience, Belichick was the most passionate coach I've known when it came to personnel and the draft process. As one of his former employees reminded me, Belichick started studying prospects by October and regularly watched college players on plane trips to and from away games. When it came to setting up the draft board, the quote was, quote, Bill does it all. So basically the thought is that 25 players might be a little low, but the point is, the Patriots definitely have players they like, and they have players that they cross off the board. A lot of teams do. And the Patriots might have a smaller pool of players that they're willing to draft. And then if those guys aren't there, well, they'd like to trade the picks. So it's an interesting take, and I'd love your thoughts as well here on the Draft Room. My name is Brian Lowe. We're here every Wednesday, 12 to 1 Eastern on Patriots.com, talking about the draft. And we're going to talk to Rob Rang in just a few minutes here in the Draft Room. Send us an email, webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. We will be back right after this.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. What I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun and back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio, back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter...
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted,
what?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan!
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America and a member PIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Man, it's football season. I mean, usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCAT phone and VCAT subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football shaped serving trays.
Now's your chance. Hit up B-Lo in the Draft Room at 508-543-7482 or email webradio@patriots.com.
Welcome back inside the Draft Room here on Patriots.com Radio. My name is Brian Lowe, taking you up to 1 o'clock Eastern coming your way. One full hour of draft talk each Wednesday leading up to the draft, which kicks off a week from tomorrow. Webradio at patriots.com is our way to get in touch with us. 508-543-7482. A lot of topics on the table, from Bill Belichick's pre-draft press conference to the Brandon Marshall trade and how that impacts the draft, to guys like Dez Bryant coming in for a visit. Could he be a guy the Patriots target? We're happy to be joined on the phones by Rob Rang of NFLDraftScout.com, their senior analyst. Rob, thank you very much for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And you had a mock draft on the 12th, I think, which was 2 days ago. Now, how many more mock drafts are you going to have between now and next Thursday?
Well, we'll have one that comes out next Monday, and then one Thursday morning. It'll be my final mock draft of the year.
Excellent. Well, a lot to get to here, and let's start from a Patriots perspective. Your mock draft from the other day has the Patriots taking Jared Audrick, number 22 overall, a guy that I certainly like as well and think he'd be a good fit. Tell me what you think, what goes into your decision to have Audrick there, whether it be a position situation or just a specific reason that they like Audrick.
Well, I think there's a variety of reasons why Jared Audrick could be a nice fit for the New England Patriots. For one, he'd be a good value at that spot. There is some talk that Jared Audrick is being looked at by the Cleveland Browns, who obviously run a similar 3-4 defense. And the Cleveland has the pick at number 7, actually. So
yep.
There is some thought that Audrick could be off the board already. If he is available, he'd be a very good value. At 6'5", 300 pounds. He has the size that teams like, is a 3-4 defensive end. And let's face it, when you look over the Bill Belichick and Scott Pioli era in New England, they have built through the defensive line. And they do it with defensive linemen that not only are talented, but also who play with very good technique. Those are some of the attributes that Audrick brings to the table. So if he is on the board at that spot, I think that he certainly would be among the very few prospects that the Patriots would be considering.
And like you said, there's no question they value these defensive linemen. Back from 01 to 04, they took 3 defensive linemen in the first round in a 4-year period, and they all panned out. Ty Warren, Richard Seymour, and Vince Wilfork. So they certainly like guys like that who might be versatile along the line. Now, Audrick is an example of several different guys in this year's draft that seem to have a very wide range where you see different mock drafts having them go. Another guy is Dez Bryant. Now, in my opinion, this trade with Brandon Marshall today involving the Broncos and the Dolphins sort of negates the possibility, you have to think, that the Dolphins would take Bryant at number 12, which is, sort of seems to be the high end on him. We had an emailer check in with us and said, talking about your mock draft, that you have the Patriots passing on Dez Bryant and Sergio Kindle. This emailer said, I don't think either one of them will be available at 22, but if either of them are, he doesn't see the Patriots passing on them. Why do you see the Patriots passing on those two guys?
Well, specifically at Dez Bryant, it's the character question. Mm-hmm. And let's be real clear about this, that, you know, for all the talk about Dez Bryant's character questions, this is not a player who's been in trouble with the authorities. You know, everything is about work ethic. Everything is about professionalism, showing up to classes on time, showing up to games or the practices on time, those type of attributes. And for the players that the Patriots in the past have focused on high character players, the Patriot way, so to speak. And I don't think that Dez Bryant fits in with that mold. Sergio Kindle does have the athletic ability and more importantly, the length that Bill Belichick has preferred in the past outside linebacker. It is well known that there are certain teams that prefer their outside linebackers in the 3-4 scheme to be in the 6'2 to 6'3 range, whereas Bill Belichick has always preferred outside linebackers being at 6'4, 6'5 frame, and that's exactly what Sergio Kindle has. So in some ways, he is absolutely a fit for what the Patriots like to do. At the same time, while I see the explosiveness as a pass rusher, I don't necessarily see the instincts from Sergio Kindle that have characterized some of the Patriots outside linebackers in past years. He's a very good athlete, and if the Patriots feel they can coach him up and give him better instincts, better production, then he certainly would be a fit. But he is not the lock for the Patriots that some have characterized him as.
Very interesting. And as we continue with talking about the Patriots in the second round, your second round mock draft, which, of course, is the highlighted round for the Patriots with 3 picks, I think people would be very interested in seeing that you have 3 intriguing offensive players, Golden Tate, Tim Tebow, and Rob Gronkowski. Now, if there's a name, obviously, that has resonated around the league in this draft, it's obviously Tim Tebow. Tell me your thoughts on him, if that middle of the second round range is where you definitely see him going, and also if you could just touch on Golden Tate and Rob Gronkowski and why they might be fits for the Pats.
Sure. You know, with Tim Tebow, I mean, that's, of course, everybody wants to talk about Tim Tebow.
And keep in mind, the fact that you have him in your mock draft made it a lock that we'd be asking you about Tebow.
Well, to be honest with you, in most interviews I do, it's a lock that I get asked about Tebow regardless.
Good point.
But at the same time, you know, it's going to take a special team that's going to take Tim Tebow, because the reality is as dynamic of a player and dynamic as a personality as he has, he is not yet ready to come in and contribute to an NFL team, at least not as a quarterback. He's a year or two away. And so it's going to take a unique situation, a team that has an established star quarterback that the fans aren't going to call for Tim Tebow to see the field, and obviously the Patriots have that in Tom Brady. It's going to take a coach that is well-established and has a proven track record that the fans are not going to be angry for the fact that they took a player like that, just because, you know, it is going to be a controversial pick. And he also needs someone who's away from the hype of the University of Florida. And I think that New England is one of the very few offenses, very few teams that have those characteristics, as well as a head coach in Bill Belichick, who has shown a great deal of consideration for players that have versatility. And so Tim Tebow certainly has that. There are some people who believe he's going to be a great wildcat option, a potential H-back conversion. So there are lots of reasons to consider that, as well as the fact that the Bill Belichick-Urban Meyer relationship, I think, has some weight as well. So those are some of the reasons why I think that he will be available. We've said for 3 years now that Tim Tebow is going to be a second-round pick, and that's where I expect him
to
go.
Yeah.
As far as Golden Tate and Rob Gronkowski, you know, Golden Tate, in my mind, is the surest of this year's wide receiver prospects. For all the talk about Dez Bryant, all the potential of Demaryius Thomas, Golden Tate is an absolute playmaker that would be able to give the Patriots a legitimate replacement for Wes Welker. We all know what Wes Welker can do. We all know that he's coming off a severe injury. Golden Tate would give them a speed threat. He'd give them a playmaking ability from the slot receiver position. He'd make a great deal of sense for the Patriots if he was available at the top of the second round. And then Rob Gronkowski. I'm not telling any secrets here. The Patriots are going to have to address the tight end position.
Right.
Rob Gronkowski is a first-round talent. It's just some teams are a little bit worried about his back. If he is available in the mid-second round, then the Patriots would be wise to consider him as well.
And I know you had information, I don't know if it was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, about the red flag with him and his back injury. And can you just touch on that and where that stands right now?
Exactly. I've spoken to several different teams that have varying degrees of concern over Rob Gronkowski's back. He missed the entire 2009 season with a back injury, underwent surgery, and everything was cleared by his agent, by the team, the University of Arizona team doctors, but of course he never played for them. At the combine, some teams red flagged his injury, and he's developed a condition, or at least some teams say that he's developed a condition called spinal stenosis. And what that is essentially is a narrowing of the spine, which some believe makes him more susceptible to a career-ending spinal injury, one of those very scary injuries that can lead to paralysis and perhaps even death. And so for a club like the Patriots, obviously they've had their share of injuries like that in the past. It is a scary thought, but if I have not spoken with the Patriots and don't know what their medical grade is, but I have spoken to other clubs. At the same time, if he can clean bill of health, again, this is a first-round caliber player who is a very good receiver, has an underrated speed to go over the top, and it might be the best blocking tight end of this class, certainly a better blocker than Jermaine Gresham, the tight end I expect to go first at the position in the first round this year.
And no question, as you said, the need for the Patriots at tight end is obviously there. We're talking to Rob Rang of NFLDraftScout.com. We've touched on some of the Patriots' moves. Let's move to, you know, the NFL draft as a whole, and your mock draft, the number four pick is where I think offers some suspense. And, you know, going with Sam Bradford 1, Dominican Sue 2, and Gerald McCoy 3, Washington with the trade that they made, obviously, last week for Donovan McNabb, lessens the emphasis on a quarterback. And you have a very intriguing pick, Trent Williams, and you described or you discussed that he would be a better fit in Mike Shanahan's zone-blocking offense than some of the other top tackles, Russell Okung and Brian Bulaga. Why don't you explain your thoughts there? And then, of course, you do have Bulaga and Okung going 5 and 6 as well.
Well, exactly. You know, it's one of the things is that we've been so hit with all Russell Okung, and I think he's a fabulous player. He's the number one offensive tackle on my board. I don't think there's any argument with the fact that he has been a very productive pass blocker throughout his entire career with Oklahoma State. He only gave one sack this entire 2009 season, and has fared very well against some of the top competition, including Brian Arakpo last year. in a highly publicized game. Yep. So he is a very solid player. Trent Williams, however, is the more athletic of the three offensive tackles. When I spoke to NFL scouts over the last couple of weeks, I asked them, is Russell Okung hands down the number one offensive tackle? And I was surprised by the fact that of 10 different teams I spoke to, one team said that Brian Bulaga was the best. Three teams had Trent Williams as the best, and the other five had Russell Okung. Wow. The three teams that had Trent Williams as the best tackle in this class all use a zone blocking system. It wants their players to have very quick feet, not necessarily quite as strong, but very quick feet and ability to be successful in that system. The Washington Redskins run that system, and I've been told it is becoming a virtual lock, that Trent Williams is going to be the fourth pick of the draft to the Washington Redskins.
Wow, tremendous information right there, and I guess that's where we're going to see some intrigue for sure. Now, I know you had on your blog the notion that we can't really rule out quite yet that Cleveland would be interested and might be able to put a package together to move up to the number one pick. Where does that stand right now?
Well, it's just with Mike Holmgren, obviously, he wants to make a splashy move. He saw one of his great competitors, Mike Shanahan, make the splashy move, as you mentioned, to trade for Donovan McNabb. And let's face it, the Cleveland Browns need a quarterback. They obviously got themselves Jake Delhomme. They got Seneca Wallace from the Seattle Seahawks. But they still need a young quarterback they're going to build this club around. In speaking with representatives from Cleveland, they're incredibly high on Sam Bradford. They think that he is a potential elite Pro Bowl franchise-type quarterback. They don't feel the same way about several of the other quarterbacks in this draft, most notably Jimmy Clausen. If Cleveland and Pat, where they are, the number seven pick, expect them to go in a position other than quarterback and perhaps McCoy or Tim Tebow in the second round. However, because they have five picks in the top 100, they have the ammunition to move up to St. Louis. St. Louis, I'm told, is not quite as high on Sam Bradford as perhaps everyone else thinks. Very high on. Think that he is going to be, I still expect him to be the number one overall pick because he is just too good. But they are not so in love with him that they won't consider other deals. The St. Louis Rams, obviously, considering their lack of success the last couple of years, are a team that has very many holes. If they are given a huge deal, a Herschel Walker, a Ricky Williams-type trade offer, I think they will consider it.
Tremendous, tremendous. A couple of other guys we want to ask you about, Rob, before we let you go, and this is actually from an email. Malcolm from Manchester says, I'm intrigued by Jerry Hughes. He has shown at TCU that he's a great pass rusher. I'd love to see the Pats get him. I'm surprised more mock drafts don't have him going higher, but notice Rob Rang does. We want to ask you why. You have Jerry Hughes going as high as, I believe, 12 to Miami. Now, what are your thoughts on Hughes? What makes you think he could go that high? And could he be a Patriot fit if he happens to be there at 22?
I think he absolutely could be a Patriot fit. And I thank Malcolm from Manchester for mentioning Jerry Hughes because he is a player that I absolutely gush about. The reason for it is because while he doesn't have necessarily the height that Bill Belichick has generally preferred at the outside linebacker position, in terms of pass rush ability, in terms of the loose hips, he is the number one outside linebacker prospect in this draft for the 3-4 defense, and not enough people are talking about him. You know, the fact that he is 6'2" is going to knock him down the board on some teams, some boards. But at the same time, when you watch his ability to rush the passer, he was a 4-3 defensive end, but he showed in drills that he absolutely has the athleticism to draw in coverage. He is absolutely being underrated. I think that it would be a very good value pick if you were still on the board for the Patriots to consider a 20 or in the 20s. But at the same time, I'm not so sure that he is going to be available because there's so many clubs that are moving to that 3-4 scheme.
And another guy, Jason Pierre-Paul, we have an emailer, Hamish from New Zealand, who was asking about Pierre-Paul, says, I've seen a lot of hype on him for his athleticism and pure potential. But I want to get your thoughts, and I know you had some thoughts about him on your blog.
I do definitely have some thoughts on Jason Pierre-Paul.
And they aren't as promising as what Hamish is saying.
Exactly. And that's the thing. There's been so much talk about Jason Pierre-Paul, and the reality is this kid has started 7 games over his college career, at least at the Division I level. And of those 7 games, they weren't consecutive games. He would start a game, get benched, start 2 games, get benched. Now, he started the final 3, but over that time he amassed 6.5 sacks total. So the idea that he is this, you know, guaranteed product defensive end is mind-boggling to me. He certainly has the athletic potential. I think if you put him in a class that has a very good pass rusher opposite him and allows him to learn some of the tricks of the trade, so to speak, then he has the potential to be a very good one. But he is very much lacking in football knowledge at this point. He does understand gap discipline. He struggles in recognizing run versus pass. And so he is a player that's been able to get by on pure athletic ability. So while he does have a great deal of upside, I cannot fathom how a team can give him a top 15 or top 20 grade as a 4-3 defensive end in this draft when you're considering how good this draft is and the fact that I believe that every team is looking for a player that's going to be able to make a not only an immediate impact but play all three downs in a first-round pick. That's just the way I believe the team should go. And I don't see how this player can be an immediate impact or three-down player, at least not in his rookie season.
The headline of your blog entry, I guess, tells it all. Pierre-Paul, draft's most overrated player. Finally, before we let you go, Rob, why don't you let you have an opportunity to tell us what you guys do at the site and just a little bit about the approach you take during this draft season.
Well, you know, the website is easy to find. It's just NFLDraftScouts.com, or you can just go to CBS. And we are the official provider for CBS's NFL draft coverage. You also can find our information at usatoday.com, or if you'd like something you can actually have in your hands and flip through pages, then we have Lindy's NFL draft preview as well as an updated PDF file that you can instantly download off of the CBS or NFLDraftScout.com page as well. As far as the mindset that I get during this type of year, you know, this is the fun time. During the September and October in the football season, that's the grind.
Sure.
Is watching all these players and setting up my board at that point. It's very much like NFL teams boards. I've actually been offered internships with NFL teams and the reason I stick with this is just because I know the work that NFL scouts do. I know the grind and I quite honestly, I like to have a life and passions outside of football that are why I explore other avenues in life. And so if NFL fans out there, whether it be Patriots fans or any other fans, if they want to see how an NFL draft board is created, if they want to see the most accurate mock historically, the most accurate profiles historically, then they know where to go, NFLDraftScout.com.
Fantastic work, Rob. Don't be tempted anymore. I mean, just stick with what you're doing. Don't be tempted by the teams. You guys do a great job, and we appreciate all the information you've given us today.
Thanks so much for your time.
All right. Rob Rang, NFLDraftScout.com, senior analyst. Some really good information, and these guys do a great job. Very thorough analysis, and I thought his mock draft was really intriguing. Is it going to be right? Is it not? He was very definitive about Trent Williams going number 4, and also interesting that he said that the Rams are not as infatuated with Sam Bradford as we all might think. So we thank Rob for joining us here on the Draft Room. It's not too late for you to chime in with us. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Let's get back to these emails. No name attached to this one, but since every team in the NFL made some big offseason moves besides the Patriots, do you think they can fill their needs with this year's draft? And is there enough quality talent in this year's draft to fill those needs and make the Patriots a better team? Did the Patriots make the fewest big moves in the league this year? Well, I'd have to go through team by team. But it is true that we've seen moves are out there to be made, and the Patriots have focused on retaining their own guys and making some smaller moves like Algie Crumpler, Damian Lewis, Marcus Morrell. They haven't made the big impact moves. Could those impact moves still come? Sure. It's important to note that tomorrow is the deadline for teams to sign their give offer sheets to restricted free agents, so that window is almost closing. The Patriots are certainly putting a lot into this year's draft with the number of picks they have, the ammunition they have, and they probably think they can fill a lot of holes on this team. But what's important to note is not just that the Patriots haven't made a lot of impact moves as far as acquiring players from other teams or free agents, but teams in their division have. And another email that we have in the inbox, this one is from Michael. Hey, Brian and Doc, Mick from Ireland. Just thinking, since the teams in our division are getting more big play receivers, does corner become a bigger need in this year's draft? As in, do we pick the best corner at 22 or leave it till later in the draft? It's a great point, Nick, and I appreciate you bringing that up because it's kind of a double whammy. The Patriots didn't make these big moves to acquire a big-time wide receiver, and they may turn out to be right in that or may turn out to be wrong. But they're going to be going up against Brandon Marshall twice this year, Santonio Holmes twice this year, although he suspended the first 4 games. Maybe they won't be seeing him. Maybe they'll only see him once. Does that put more emphasis on the cornerback position. I would say that a cornerback in the first round would surprise me, maybe not stun me. I think that their top cornerbacks going into next year will probably be Lee Bodden and Darius Butler. And I think what Darius Butler showed in his first year, not bad. I think he can be a very solid, productive cornerback this year and maybe be an all-pro eventually. So I think Bodden, Butler are probably your 1-2. And then you've got Will Height, Sean Springs. You've got, drawing a blank here, Terrence Wheatley as well. Not guys that are going to overwhelm you. I think cornerback is still a need. I just don't see them going in the first round. The guys, in that range are Joe Hayden. He's certainly seen as a first-round guy, probably the first cornerback in the draft. Earl Thomas is another one, cornerback safety. Then you've got guys like Kyle Wilson, maybe later on in the first round, Devin McCourty. These are guys who could be in the Patriots' range, but I think only if they slip to the first pick, their first pick in the second round. And, you know, it's not like this is the first time a team in their division has acquired a big-time wide receiver. Terrell Owens just last year with Buffalo. And I think it's not necessarily prudent for the Patriots or any other team to specifically react to what another team does by making a certain pick in the draft. But I think right there, Santonio Holmes, Brandon Marshall being in the division, and then along with Lee Evans, Braylon Edwards, other guys like that, they're going to need to be sharp at the cornerback position, so it's a great point there, Mick. Sam from Brighton. Oh, we got to Sam's email about Dez Bryant and Sergio Kindle talking to Rob Rang about them. And, Bryant, absolutely, the red flag about the way he lied to the NCAA investigators. But, he's not a real problem child as far as off-the-field arrests and behavior and things like that. And Rob absolutely thinks Sergio Kindle could be a Patriot kind of guy, just as Audric going there first. Webradio@patriots.com, that is our email address. You can certainly chime in with us. Want to get to some comments from Don Banks of SportsIllustrated.com regarding Dez Bryant. And the headline of a story he had over the last couple of days on SI.com is Dez Bryant, the next Randy Moss. And here's what Don says. Playing the role of Randy Moss in this year's proceedings will be Dez Bryant. The comparison appears to be fairly apt. Like Moss in 1998, Bryant enters the draft as the clear-cut, top-rated prospect at his position and a top-10 talent. But there's more to the story than that, and by now we all know it. Bryant has the dreaded, quote, character concerns attached to his name, and it could precipitate a draft night tumble into the middle of the first round, well past where his playmaking skills alone would project him. Yes, Moss has spent time with three NFL franchises in his dozen seasons, and his career has had its rocky and mercurial moments, but there are plenty of teams that rue their lack of foresight in terms of his impact potential in 98, and most fully realize their mistake before the midpoint of his breathtaking rookie season. The fascinating question is whether there will be a host of clubs doomed to repeat the exercise this year in the case of Bryant. So the range for Bryant, as we talked about early on, is sort of 10 to 26, I'd say, and the Patriots are in that mix. And we know their need at wide receiver, and maybe, just maybe, this guy, Bryant, will have enough of a chip on his shoulder that he'll be looking to just torture teams that passed on him. I think about Paul Pierce as far as an NBA link, and when he was drafted in 98, not unlike Randy Moss, and went to the Celtics 10th overall, going into that draft, he was seen as maybe the second pick in the entire draft. And I always hear over these last dozen years that Pierce has used that as motivation. Boy, all nine of those teams passed on me. I'll show them. Well, maybe Bryant has some of that in him. And maybe if he's paired with Moss, maybe Moss can show him exactly the attitude that he had back as a rookie and use that to his advantage. It's an intriguing thought. It's a very intriguing thought. If pressed right now, I say no. The Patriots don't take Dez Bryant. But if Dez Bryant is there at number 22, I'll be honest, it's got to be considered tempting for the Patriots. I personally, again, don't see it, but you got to wonder, could that be a guy that they go to? Now, the Broncos, who select, 12th overall, you wonder now, could they be now more in the market? I'm sorry, they draft 11th. Could they be in the market for a wide receiver because of the big hole they have without Brandon Marshall? Well, yeah, probably, but boy, I can't see them taking Dez Bryant 11th overall, A, because that's pretty early, and B, can they risk another headache-type wide receiver? Again, I'm not saying Dez Bryant definitely is that headache guy, but there is a character concern there. You read it everywhere. Could that be too early? They have a hole at wide receiver. I just think that would be too early for them. But like I was talking about before with the Denver Broncos, what's very interesting now is in that second round where the Broncos now are drafting 43rd, the Patriots are 44th, and then, as it turns out, the Broncos are 45th. So the Broncos sandwiching the Patriots pick there in the second round, very interesting stuff indeed with this Brandon Marshall trade. We've got another email in the inbox here in the draft room. This one is from William. Brian, sorry, song reference number one. Whoever drafts Tebow will supposedly get locker room guy. Do you think he will be making love out of nothing at all? 10 points to any that catch this. With the recent trade of Marshall to Miami, have they moved one step beyond? Now, you listeners can't see this, but William actually sent me the YouTube link to One Step Beyond by Madness in case I wanted the video. Jason is nicely playing this for us, but backfiring a little bit right now.
The song doesn't do the video justice.
Yeah, I mean, we're watching the video here. We can see it, but yeah, the song isn't quite getting it done. Hey, William, listen, the creativity is off the charts. We appreciate this, but let's get to the actual point of the email here. Okay, seriously, what would it take to get a third-round pick? I'm thinking the 4 and both 7s that are tradable. I might be underestimating it, though. Would the 4th, the tradable 6th, and the tradable 7th be more realistic? Would the... Well, basically, the point of the email here is, if the Patriots need to get a third-round pick because the guy is there that they want, would a 4th, a 6th, and a 7th be realistic? Yeah, that would be realistic, I would think. I don't have a draft chart in front of me, but I think, yeah, you start with that with a 4th, and you move up and around. One of the problems that the Patriots have in this draft, and, you know, there's pros and cons. They have 12 picks overall, 4 in the first two rounds, but they're without a third-round pick, and they're without a fifth-round pick. They just have a 4th. So the question being, let's say a guy slips to them in the third round they really want. I don't see them making a trade like this in advance. I think this would be a trade that they make during the third round. You know, they're at pick 80-something. A guy they like is still there. Maybe they, with those first four picks, you know, let's say, for instance, they didn't take a cornerback, but they really target a certain guy that they had maybe a second-round grade on. Yeah, I think that's very realistic, making a deal like that. A 4th, a 6th, and a 7th sounds about right. Hard to say exactly because it would certainly depend on, is this an early third-round pick, a later third-round pick, but it's an interesting choice. And again, William, listen, we've kind of botched your song references. That was my fault last week. And then, you know, playing this video just didn't quite work out. But, hey, keep it up, William. We like it. We like it a lot. Again, just to recap sort of some of the topics we talked about, Belichick's press conference today, he said that Patriots have absolutely received quite a few number of calls from other teams about those second-round picks. He emphasized the second-round picks. He volunteered that information. He didn't say we've gotten calls on our picks across the board, our first-round pick, our fifth-round pick. He said those second-round picks. That is the hot spot. And keep in mind, the format changed this year. The first round is Thursday night. The second and third rounds are Friday night. So teams are going to have about 20 hours, 18 to 20 hours, between the end of the first round and the start of the second round to analyze their draft board and also see where the hot spots might be as far as trades in the second round. The fact that Belichick said this, I think, is very interesting. They're always willing and interested to trade. If I had to guess right now, they don't make four picks, or they don't make those exact four picks in the first two rounds. They will move around. If I had to guess of those four picks, honestly, they probably make three. And they might not even be three that they actually have right now. There probably will be some movement, especially because teams will have all day Friday to look at it closely, call teams up, look to make trades. That was the interesting point from Belichick's press conference today. We talked about the Brandon Marshall trade, how that impacts the draft. It probably means that Miami won't be interested in a wide receiver, namely Dez Bryant, with that 12th pick overall. Could Bryant fall to 22? That was on the table today. We talked to Rob Rang, NFLDraftScout.com, who had interesting information. The biggest piece of info from a league-wide draft perspective is Trent Williams, in Rob's mind, being a virtual lock to the Washington Redskins fourth overall, assuming Bradford goes one, Sue goes two, McCoy goes three. Very interesting that he has Williams, Bulaga, and then Okung in that order off the board in the first round. He has Jared Audrick going to the Patriots 22. He's high on Sergio Kindle, high on Jerry Hughes, not so high on Jason Pierre-Paul, and he has Tim Tebow going in the second round. Whew. Deep breath.
Breathe, buddy, breathe.
Lot to get to. We're wrapping up this edition of the Draft Room. We've got another week of the Draft Room before the draft, and then we'll have a draft recap show the following week. Wednesdays, 12 to 1 during draft season. I cannot even imagine the excitement we're going to have next Wednesday when we will be about 30 hours before the draft. Lot to get to. Each Wednesday so far, there's been NFL news, there's been Patriots news we've been talking about, and we're looking forward to hearing from you next week. Webradio@patriots.com. Email us anytime between now and next Wednesday. We'll see you at noon next Wednesday.